The reading is 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through to 14. And apologies to the order of service spotters for getting that one wrong. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. Should have gone on really, but where do you stop? You've got to stop somewhere, because it's a whole letter. We stopped where we stopped. So this is Paul, the apostle, who is in his second, probably and certainly final Roman imprisonment, writing to Timothy, Tim, who's a pastor, I think in Ephesus. You might say it's Paul in Rome to Pastor Tim. That may mean something to some people. Maybe not. Forgot its interest, sorry. Okay, Paul in Rome to Pastor Tim. Tell me some people got that. You're hopeless. Ground control to Major Tom? You're just too shy. Or maybe it's too late. We're living in an age of self-help books and motivational speakers. Go into Waterstones and you see them on the bookshelves. I know someone who has traveled twice in a month to America to go to listen to a motivational speaker. I mean, I don't think this person needs motivation. They're motivated enough as it is. Self-help books, motivational speakers, and the message, I think, pretty much comes back to, again and again, this. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. That's what we're teaching our children in schools mostly. I visit a school close to where I work, and I'm sure I've seen a poster on the wall which says something like, believe in yourself. That's the message. Believe in yourself. And there's a point up to which actually it's quite good to encourage people to believe that they can do things that they didn't think they could do. People need to be built up. If someone's suffering from low self-esteem and they think they're absolutely hopeless and rubbish and everything, yeah, build them up. But the answer fundamentally is not believe in yourself. Certainly isn't in my case, because I'm the problem. I'm the sinner who is out of sorts with God on my own. I'm the sinner who continually runs into relational ruffles and frictions with my fellow human beings. I'm the sinner who's not at peace with himself. And so believing in myself, I know, is not the answer. And unsymmetrical though my head may be, I know I'm not unique. We are the problem. Our sin is the problem. And believing ourselves is not the answer. What Paul says to Timothy in verses 6 and 7, which is really what I want to focus on, sounds very close to the kind of thing that the motivational speakers say. Sounds very close to the don't listen to the doubts, believe in yourself stuff that our children are being taught in schools today. But it is, in fact, radically different. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline, says Paul. Let's think a bit about who Timothy was. Timothy was a young pastor, young minister. He was kind of nervous. He was a bit like me, except he was young. It's reckoned that he may have been about 35, which is still young, I'm now realizing, when Paul wrote this letter. And Timothy was someone who had grown up under the influence of his mum and his granny, who were both Christians. His dad was a Greek, his mum was a Jewess. Don't know anything about his dad other than that, really, I don't think. But he had grown up under the influence of Christian relatives. He was someone who, verse 4, that was verse 5, by the way. Verse 4, we learn that he's someone who cried. Paul remembered his tears, recalling your tears. He was a young man who cried. He was maybe something of a sensitive soul. He had a bad tummy. We know from 1 Timothy that that's the case. Where is it? 1 Timothy 5:23. Paul encourages him to take a little wine. Don't just drink water only. Take a little wine. Don't get hammered. That's not what he was saying. Take a little wine for the sake of your stomach. It was a medicinal thing. And your frequent illnesses. If you were looking for a new minister, you might look at Timothy and think, well, he's a nice lad. And his heart's in the right place, but we're going to take that risk. But Timothy was someone who had been called by God, not only to faith, to salvation, but to service in Christian ministry as a pastor. And Paul had laid his hands on him, doesn't use this word, but in ordination really, to set him apart for this task. And Paul's encouraging him now to really get on with it. Get on with it. Why did he need this encouragement? Why did he need to be encouraged to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands? Well, there might be a little clue in verse 7, just at the beginning of verse 7, where it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control." I think it's probably fair to say that Timothy was probably suffering from timidity, fear, nerves were getting the better of him, and he wasn't able to move forward and get on with the task at hand. And we're not going to focus too much on that, because focusing on the problem is not the answer. You need to identify the problem, but you then don't focus on it. And there's a great motorcycling example of this. I've recently got back into motorcycling, much to Elizabeth's consternation and my delight. But in motorcycling, there's a phenomenon called target fixation, where you see a problem in the road ahead of you, and instead of going round it, you just keep looking at it, and guess what? You go straight into it. And a couple of weeks ago, I was on a motorbike ride with some people who, like me, are getting back into it, and we're trying to encourage each other and observe each other and pick up faults and all the rest of it. And I was actually past Farker's house out that wiggly-waggly road. It's a great bike road. And I was following this guy, and he was nice and smooth and good lines and everything. And I was thinking, I don't know what to say to him because he's doing really well. And then we came to a corner, and as we approached the corner, I was thinking, he needs to start turning. He needs to start turning. He really needs to start turning. And he didn't. And he went off the road. And it wasn't funny until we worked out that he was okay. He was okay. Spikes and bits, but hey, they can be fixed. And in what happened there, debrief, He'd seen a problem, he'd seen this corner, and he was worried about it, and instead of looking round it where he was supposed to go, he kept looking at the corner. And guess where he went? Straight into it. So Timothy, I think, was suffering from timidity. Don't confuse timidity with humility or gentleness. I think that's an easy mistake to make. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're called to be humble. We're called to be gentle. We're not called to be timid. We're called to be bold. And I think in the world, very often these things are all muddled up. You're either a timorous wee soul, and you're humble and gentle, or you're in people's faces and telling it exactly like it is. We're called to be humble and gentle, but not timid. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, used to say to his people, apparently, those of you who are used to tending fires, and that was probably everybody because that's how you kept your house warm, those of you who are used to tending fires will know that fires have a tendency to go out. And so they need to be stirred up from time to time. And that's what Paul is doing with Timothy. He's stirring him up. And that's what, hopefully, the Lord is doing in my life, maybe even in yours, as we look at this passage together. That's the problem. Let's not focus on the problem, though. Let's focus on the answer. The answer, says Paul, is not to focus on timidity, because God hasn't given us timidity. If you've got timidity, then you can be sure of one rock solid thing. It's not from the Lord. It's your very own, probably. Something you made yourself. Other people might have helped you to do it, but it's not from the Lord. He's given us the spirit instead of power and of love and of self-control. And we're probably all getting a wee bit tired now, so I'm going to hopefully show you an educational video. Just lasts 25 seconds. And the main point of this video is so that you know what a warrior infantry fighting vehicle is. Okay? The infantry are soldiers who operate on the ground, not in tanks, but they need to get where they're going somehow or other. And this is a bit out of date now, but they used to get where they were going in a warrior. So a warrior infantry fighting vehicle. That's the point. It's not the point of the sermon, but it's the point of this little video. 25 seconds. Good. Okay, so you've all got it. One passed by, you would say, oh, that's a warrior. In 2003, I was in Iraq, in a place called Al-Amara, and it's about 60 miles north of Basra. It's a city on the River Tigris, potentially a lovely place, but probably not a top holiday destination. And I was there with an infantry battle group. And one day, there was a bit of a situation that some of us got caught up in. There was a great crowd formed in the street, and there was anger, disgruntlement, the potential for a riot. And a few of us turned up in our vehicles, the lead vehicle being a warrior. Warrior, lots of other vehicles, angry Iraqi crowd. Stuart Cattermole, who was the officer commanding this particular group that I was with at this point, was about my height, posh Irish, whatever that is, and he got out of his vehicle. And memory fades as time goes by and memories get confused, but my picture is of the angry crowd and of this warrior vehicle, Dalek-like thing, lots of stuff behind us, and Stuart Cattermole out of his vehicle, talking with the crowd, with the help of an interpreter. And the reason I'm sharing this story is that I think it helps us to get a picture of what power and love and self-control, self-discipline look like, just at the purely human level. This is just human beings trying to do stuff. Stuart had power. He had power. He was in command of an infantry company. He had this infantry fighting vehicle behind him. It was loaded with guys who were all bombed up, loads of other stuff behind. He had power. Lots of power at his disposal. And he could have used that power to just break his way through the crowd. Probably illegally, because it would have involved squashing people and that kind of thing. But he could have done that. He could have used his power that way. But he didn't. He got out. And he went and spoke with these people. And he listened to them because he had love. Actual, genuine love and concern. This is not turning into a political thing, don't worry. And I know there's all kinds of arguments about Iraq and should we have been there and shouldn't we have been here and all the rest of it. But I can tell you that with a few really bad exceptions, most soldiers on the ground were there to try and do some good among the people that they found themselves among. Didn't know the big political picture, didn't understand, didn't care. We've got some people here, we've got some stuff, let's try and do some good. And he was there with compassion. And he put himself in a vulnerable place. He had all this power, but he put himself in a vulnerable place because standing on his own in front of all this power, but in front of all these people, it just someone could have thrown a stone and got him like that. David and Goliath. Or shot him or whatever. Mobbed him. But he put himself in that vulnerable place. Power, love, self-control, self-discipline. How do you think he felt when he was getting out of his vehicle? This foreigner, this wee foreigner, not because he's Irish, he's British, just he's not Iraqi. This foreigner getting out of his vehicle to go and speak to this really angry crowd of crazy Iraqis, you might say. Do you think he maybe felt a bit afraid? Think he might have been tempted to say, do you know what, let's just batten down the hatches and get out of here. Could have done that. But he had the self-discipline, the self-control to engage and to say, hey, what's the problem? Let's see if we can fix it. Little example. Timothy. Oh, poor Timothy. Timothy was dealing with a difficult church. Can you imagine that? Looking at ministers and elders and human beings in general. Can you imagine a church being difficult? Let me tell you, a church that's not difficult, a church that's not got difficulties is probably dead. Because churches are made up of human beings and we all bring our baggage. And any church that's serious about the business of the gospel is going to be coming under external attack as well as whatever we produce within ourselves. Timothy was dealing with a difficult church. And if he was anything like me, he probably wanted to just stick his head in the sand or quietly walk away. Just leave it. Go and be a chaplain or something easy like that. But Paul says, and he says, I remind you. He's giving him a bit of a talking to here. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of the gospel which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. We've had our little thought about just natural power and love and self-discipline, self-control. Paul's talking about supernatural power here, supernatural love, supernatural self-control, because it's from God. That's what's not only available to Timothy, we timorous Timothy, it's not only available to him, it's in him. It's in him by the laying on of Paul's hands, by the gift of God and God's Holy Spirit. The Greek word for power, I gather, is dynamis. Dynamite, yeah. Holy Spirit is dynamite. Holy Spirit is powerful. And if we are Christian believers, then we have the Holy Spirit. And we need to focus not on our timidity, not on our what-ifs, and oh, I don't know, and we tried that last time, and we need to focus not on that stuff. I can't do that. The multi-talented Shaurus McKenzie, was that how Norman introduced me? He doesn't know me very well. I can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can. God can do things through us. If God's not doing it through us, then it doesn't matter how fancy we are, how much we practice, how organized we get, it'll never work. We might build up a great big following full of people who come along and are motivated by motivational speaking, but it's God who changes hearts and minds and lives. God's power. Timothy, you've got it. God's love, and the word is agape, which is that selfless love. Love for the unlovely. Not, oh, she's nice. Love. Selfless love. Kind of love that makes someone put themselves out for others. Kind of love that makes someone take a risk, take a step of faith. And it might cost them their lives. For others. Because God's love is in us. Power and love and self-control. I didn't write down the Greek word for self-control because it had too many letters and I probably couldn't pronounce it anyway. And it didn't remind me of anything. Self-control. The self-control of God. Does God have self-control? Is that a thing? Sounds a bit odd almost, doesn't it? Self-discipline. Gethsemane. If it's possible, may this cup, I'm having communion tonight, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will but yours be done. Absolutely. Self-control can come from God, and God knows about self-control. Power, love, self-control. Do you know what, Timothy? Paul is saying, you just need to get on with it. You need to stop target fixating on your fears, worrying about the stuff. You just need to get on with it. God's called you. God will enable you, but you've got to take that step. Because otherwise, you don't need the enablement. So, let me read. not comment on, but just read again verses 8 onwards. So, therefore, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, the gospel. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Timothy, you have at your disposal God's power, God's love, God's self-control. Get on with it. You can imagine a motivational speaker saying that, though, can't you? Almost. People, we've been here for some time. We've been thinking about who we are and where we come from and the potential that's in each and every one of us. And we have power and we have love and we have self-control. So can we do it? No Bob the Builder fans here either. Yes, we can, is supposed to be the answer. And then he gets into his private jet and zooms off to some other conference of eager, motivated people who have come to be motivated. Yeah? That's not where Paul's coming from at all. Paul is writing this from jail. And he's writing it from jail in Rome, under the reign of the Emperor Nero. He's not under house arrest this time. He's in chains. And he's not hoping to get out of jail this time, as he was before and did. He knows his earthly end is near. Chapter 4, verse 16, we read, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth." Well, yeah, he was delivered from the lion's mouth, probably because he was a Roman citizen. And it was going to be the sword for him. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely." Oh, you could be forgiven for thinking he thinks he's going to get out of jail again. "Will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." This is power. This is love. This is self-control in the face of death for the sake of Jesus Christ and his gospel. And it belonged to Paul, and it belonged to Timothy, and it belongs to all who are in Christ Jesus. So let's not get caught up with nonsense, foolish arguments, fears that prevent us from just doing it. Let's fan into flame the gift of God that is within us. And we do that by being the church and living the Christian life and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Amen. Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away.